Welcome to another episode of Vertical Families. I'm here this week with my co-host, R.T. Stringer, and we're here to talk about a really tough topic today.
I think we need to do that over again, because you said at the beginning, I thought you were thinking, my favorite son-in-law and co-host, R.T. Stringer.
We're here with my co-host, R.T. Stringer.
I'm going to write out a script for you for hoping. But it's okay, because I remember a few episodes ago, you did.
Thanks for bringing that back up. Yeah. Yes, I think I was... I don't know. I was
speaking
whammy
the truth.
That week.
Yeah. Well, today we're back with another kind of difficult topic. We're just talking about
we keep coming up to these very difficult topics.
Yeah.
But as we made our list of, you know, what's important to families, these are the things that were coming up. So we're going to tackle them.
Yeah. I showed a list to several people, and these first 10 or so that we're doing are ones that's like, hey, that's something I struggle with, or I would love to hear more on. So today's another one with offering an authentic apology.
Yeah, and aren't apologies hard?
Yeah, I don't know why you put authentic in there. I'm sure that was you.
It was me because, okay, the more experienced one, married more than 40 years. Like, I've had a lot of experience with this apology thing. Authentic ones and not authentic ones.
Yeah.
And as I look back, I'll admit it, there have been times I've tried to avoid those apologies.
Yeah.
Like, it just... humbling yourself is not an easy thing to do.
I thought you put authentic in because I'm fairly quick-witted when it comes to mother-in-law comments.
You're quick-witted with everything, but yes, those especially.
So if you come over sometime on a Sunday morning, we're preaching, and my mother-in-law's here, you usually come up. Your name does sometimes when you're not even here.
And I feel bad about it.
And then I apologize to you. And a lot of times I'll apologize as soon as I say it to everyone out there.
Sometimes you apologize ahead of time.
I apologize ahead of time.
It's almost like that whipping before you go into a family's...
And so that's why I thought authentic. I was thinking, I probably need to apologize to you now because my apologies have not been authentic. Like, if I could do it over again, I would do it again. Does that make sense?
I think I've lost track, but I think we're tracking with our topic today. Avoidance is one. Like, humbling yourself is hard. And so sometimes we just don't. We just kind of go on and pretend.
Pretend nothing happened.
Nothing happened. No apology needs to be made. If enough time goes by, they'll forget this incident ever happened. And we can just let life go on and I don't have to humble myself or give away any pride or any of that kind of stuff. The other thing we do, and I think this one may even be more common, is short circuit our apologies.
What do you mean by that?
So there are some things that are necessary for an apology to really be an apology.
Yep.
And we can try to get away with not including all those things, mm-hmm. especially in our marriages. We like everything to be happy, going along well. There's no conflict. There's no issues. It's harmonious in our homes.
Right.
And we just want to get back there. So a lot of times, instead of putting all the elements of a true apology in, we'll just say, I'm sorry.
Yep. I've been guilty.
Me too. Oh, yeah. Me too. That's why I think this one's more common than avoidance. It's kind of hard to avoid.
Yeah, I think it depends on personality, because there's some people who they'll sin against their spouse. They'll just pretend it never happened.
And they avoid it. I mean, they can avoid everything.
They'll avoid it, and you know, maybe a rough week or two, but eventually, it's like, this will just blow over. I'll never have to speak to it.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I would agree though that the short circuit's the bigger one.
So for me, maybe, and that's why I'm thinking my personality, the short circuit, makes a little more sense. It's harder for me to totally avoid something. But what we're talking about, when we're talking about apologies, something's had to happen for an apology to be needed.
Yeah.
There's been some kind of conflict in the marriage relationship. And I don't know about you, but if you think back, most of the conflicts that have occurred in my marriage have been over trivial little things.
Yeah.
Secondary kind of preference stuff, not even big theological issues or anything.
I remember Karen and I's first argument, and it's over the dumbest thing. Not important at all.
Yeah, I mean, thinking at my own life or talking to other people, it's things like where you squeeze the toothpaste tube from or whether the socks make it into the hamper.
And when I think back, like, it was over dumb stuff, but I refused to apologize. Or if I did, it was, I'm sorry I made you angry. I'm sorry I upset you. Now let's just get back to normal.
We're going to talk about that in a minute.
Okay. I've been really bad at that one.
But I think, you know, at first I thought, no, that can't be trivial things. Surely all of our conflicts have been big. Like, they meant something to me. These things were important. Like, I held grudges for a while sometimes. But I think we find in James chapter 4 that he nails us. when he says, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? It's not the big stuff.
Yeah.
It's the little things we hang on to that cause us to have so many problems.
That's true. That's true. I'm just trying. I'm thinking in my mind, I'm over here laughing because I can think of all the dumb stuff I've argued over. And it's my fault, right? It's if I would just apologize and moved on.
Yeah, but isn't it so hard to apologize?
It is. Especially, you know, to your spouse, yes. But I found it's really hard to apologize to my kids.
Oh, yeah.
I'm better at it now.
You're the adult and you think they look up to you and you're supposed to have it. It's hard.
The first few times when I had to look at my three-year-old and be like, hey, Dad really messed up here.
And it doesn't change. You know, now I've got the grandkids around and I watch the two-year-old one day a week. And sometimes I have to look at her and go, I'm so sorry. Yeah. I just messed up. Put all these pieces of an authentic apology in there to make it real.
Yep.
So you brought up that word authentic apology. Mm-hmm. When we talk about what makes a real apology and what doesn't, I think sometimes it's easier to look at what a real apology is not first before we look at it. And we've both used the words already in this episode. A real apology is not, I'm sorry, or I'm sorry you were offended, or I'm sorry if I did something to make you feel whatever it is.
What about, I'm sorry you're so sensitive?
Nope.
No, okay. I can just keep going down a list here.
When we offer those, I'm sorry you were offended, I'm sorry if I hurt you, we're shifting the blame.
Yep.
We're putting it right back over on their shoulders. Mm-hmm. We didn't mess up.
Yeah.
They messed up by not understanding and being offended by whatever we said.
We're trying to protect a little bit of our pride.
That's the whole humble and pride thing. Yeah, we don't want to let it go.
Let a little bit go because I know I was wrong, but I want to make sure you suffer too.
Yes. Yeah. So we've got the whole blame shifting. Mm-hmm. It wasn't me. It was really you.
Yeah.
Or this other one. I hear this one. I'm sorry, but.
Yeah.
And we're excusing why it happened. So we're either turning their attention to our circumstance.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I was short with you, but these kids have been driving me crazy all day. Or we put the blame right back on them when we do those blame shifting tactics.
I think the butt works like if you're hangry, right? Like if you haven't
eaten. I'm not sure hangry's an excuse.
Okay. I thought that was like a free pass.
Yeah.
No? Okay.
We've got several family members that.
Yeah. Do you want me to name them?
I don't know if we can legally do that.
Okay. I won't. We still have to get together at Christmas and stuff.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. We got summer vacation coming up in a few
months.
Oh,
yeah. Let's not do it now. Yeah, so, but that's a big one. I'm sorry, but this and this. Yeah.
So, again, we're trying to minimize our part in it.
Yeah.
By reminding them of their faults and their part in whatever the problem is.
Yeah. So, you're going to tell us what an authentic apology really is?
I think I shall.
Let's do it.
Okay. So, there are three parts to an authentic apology.
Okay.
And the one we're pretty good at, that whole, I am sorry. Mm-hmm. Yes, we need that. We just don't need it by itself. We need to say, I'm sorry. We need to own the blame, which is the hard part.
It is. Especially when you're very specific in that. I'm sorry that I did this, that, you know, because you know it hurts them. So now you have to name it like, I did this and I know it really hurt you.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough.
Take the ownership and name it. And that kind of comes into the second part. Apologies, real apologies, explain without excusing. So there's not that but or that twisting it to the other person. So, you know, you might say, I'm sorry I didn't talk that over with you. Mm-hmm. There's that ownership. I'm taking the blame and I'm naming what it is. But now I'm going to explain without excusing it. I thought you knew, but I should have made sure you knew. I shouldn't have just assumed that you knew this was going on.
That sounds good. Can I call you next time I need to apologize to run it by and see how does this sound?
I might have to write it out because I have to practice these too. And then the third part is maybe the hardest, is that in that apology, we need to ask for forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And so often that's part of that short circuiting. I'm going to say I'm sorry, but I'm not going to ask you to forgive me. C.S. Lewis said there's a difference between asking for forgiveness and asking to be excused.
Yeah, that's good.
And when we simply say, I'm sorry, what we're doing is asking to be excused. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
It's almost like, I'm sorry, I'm going to do this again.
Yeah.
You know?
Just excuse me. Yeah. I'm not telling you what I'm sorry. The other person doesn't even really know if you're sorry because you haven't even said what it is you're sorry for. And you certainly, you know, if you're not saying, will you forgive me? There's not that humbling and that request of forgiveness. And so a lot of times what will happen for a married couple is one will say, I'm sorry, and the other one will say, that's okay.
Yeah.
And it's not okay.
Have you been listening at my house?
It happens at my house frequently, and I will admit to being one of the parties.
Do you think some of it's like we're quick to try? Like, I'm a natural peacemaker. I think, like, that's how I'm wired, and some people are. And so I just want to get to peace as fast as I can and not deal with it.
And even if we're not peacemakers, it goes back to that whole thing we said in the beginning. In our marriages, we like it when things are going, they're peaceful.
Yeah.
And there's no issues between us, and we're talking and we're doing things together, and there's no conflict. And we want to get back there quick.
Yeah. I heard it once. I can't remember who said it, but it was a pastor was talking about that there's peacemakers, it's what we should do. But a peacemaker, you have to deal with it. So if I hurt you, I have to come, I have to say, I'm sorry. I need to be specific. You may need to explain, you know, specifically how I even hurt you in doing this and talk through it, versus a peacekeeper is like, you just want to do everything to keep peace. So I just want to brush this under the rug so we can get back to watching TV and having a great evening. I don't want to deal with any of it, right? So I'm not really making peace. I'm just sweeping it under the rug, where a good apology is like, we're going to deal with some hard stuff here.
We're going to make peace. And apologies are hard, not just, I mean, these things are hard.
Mm-hmm.
Humbling yourself to say, I'm sorry. Naming what it was you did that wasn't right. That's not an easy thing to do. And then to ask forgiveness is tough. But this almost, as tough as that piece is, it almost always leads to more discussion about whatever that thing was.
Yeah.
And so many of us want to avoid that because that's hard work.
Yep.
But if we can be the peacemakers and do that hard work, it leads to more harmony and well-going later on, if we can just bring ourselves to face that.
Because it's probably going to come up again. If you just say, hey, I'm sorry, and you say, it's okay. Well, it's not okay. It really hurt you. So you really need to explain how this hurt, and so that you know, everyone can have this a true understanding of what's going on here. And
yeah, if we don't do the hard work, we're going back to those two things we said at the beginning. We're either avoiding or we're short-circuiting.
Mm-hmm.
And so the work isn't getting done.
Yeah.
That needs to get done in that relationship. And
then I no longer trust your apologies, right? Because it's not authentic. You say, I'm sorry all the time, but it happens again next week. Mm-hmm. And then the person who's offending you may not even know the specific ways they're offending you. And
And it just kind of keeps replaying and replaying.
Yeah.
So our real apologies have to include those three things. That regret, I'm sorry, the regret over doing it, the naming and owning it, and then that request for pardon when we ask for forgiveness. But, you know, we talk through processes and things like this, and sometimes it's easy to think, well, that's fairly easy to do.
Right.
I can nail this. It's kind of look at it like a formula. If I can do this, I've got it. But we need to, one really important thing we need to keep in mind about that forgiveness piece, when we're apologizing and we're asking for forgiveness, we're asking for pardon, it's a request.
Yeah.
We're asking that other person to forgive us. And depending on the trespass, the offense, they may not be able to give that forgiveness immediately. If it's a major offense, it may take some time for them to work through it and be able to offer that forgiveness.
Yeah, I don't know how many times I've seen where, you know, someone's asked someone for forgiveness and they don't forgive right away. And so the person offended all of a sudden is upset now at that person for not immediately forgiving them. It's like, well, you hurt them pretty bad, right? So it's...
Yeah, you know, God gave us our emotions.
Mm-hmm.
They can go out of control and we can do wrong things with them just like anything else. But he gave them to us as warning systems, as protection. And sometimes we have to just understand if we've hurt someone deeply, they can't, they're guarded by their emotions. They're protected. They can't just immediately forgive. And we've got to be able to sit back and wait for that to unfold.
Yeah, it's a process.
Yeah. And, you know, if we think about it, that's exactly what Christ did for us and forgiven us. You know, it's radical.
Yeah.
We were the ones that sinned. He has passed over it.
Yeah.
Absorbed it for us. That's basically what, when we ask someone to forgive us, that's what we're asking.
Mm-hmm.
Forgive it, pass over it, don't pay me back.
Right.
I get an even.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to let this go and you're never going to bring it back up.
Yeah, that's good. But I think the danger there sometimes, especially in Christian homes, is we can ask for forgiveness and be very specific. And if the person doesn't grant it right away, we're quick to throw, but hey, you're a Christian. You're supposed to forgive me right now. That's probably not your place to say it in that conversation. It's not going to go well for you. Hey, this is going to take a process for them to get through. And do they need to forgive you? Absolutely. Yes. But it may take a while.
And we need to remember, you know, we're talking Christian homes, Christian families, and we have to remember that it all starts vertically, which is where our vertical families comes from. Like, we've got to ask the forgiveness from God. We've got to do business vertically before we can take care of things horizontally. Yeah.
I think the other big thing on that one is knowing that trust is different from forgiveness.
Yes.
So I may forgive you, but I may not trust you.
And you shouldn't.
Right.
Probably not.
Until
you've watched for a long time to see that there's change.
And depend on defense. Yeah. If it's something deep, like an adultery or something like that, like it can take years to get that trust back. Now I can work to forgive you now, but... Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think that's a – sometimes we get those confused.
Yeah.
Someone forgives you and you think they should trust you automatically. It's like, that takes time, man.
Yeah, a long time. It's not – you're over it. You were able to humble yourself and ask for forgiveness, but I was the recipient. I was involved in this and injured too, so it's going to take me some time now. I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
And we talk about that, you know, here's the steps. And somebody might be thinking, well, is this going to be easy now that I know these three steps?
Yeah.
And I'm just going to say, uh-uh.
Nope. Like,
there's this old teaching learning maxim coming from a teacher that says to speak well, you have to speak poorly first.
Okay.
You learn from those mistakes and you grow. And it's going to be the same with apologies. Sometimes that first apology is going to be so off the mark.
Yeah.
It may even sound more fake than real because they don't have all the pieces yet or the heart doesn't seem there. But I think we all should just, you know, go into this knowing that doesn't mean they're useless and of no value. Yeah. Those first attempts can be built on and can eventually work into real apologies given the time.
Yeah, we just want to sweep it under the rug. Like, she knows or he knows I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done this. I feel bad.
Right.
There's no need for me to have to, like, sit down and have a conversation to talk about it. It's going to be weird. It's going to be awkward.
Or even if you get to the point where you don't try to avoid it and avoid the awkwardness, you're willing to try your hand at this because you understand it's important, but you haven't had a whole lot of practice and you don't know how this looks, and you offer that apology, it may sound like a short-circuited I'm sorry, or you may even put all three pieces in there, but your spouse is going, I hear the words but I don't hear the heart.
Yeah.
Like, he or she is saying the right things, but they're not convincing me that they truly have got this yet. But it's okay, you know. We don't give up. We keep going.
We do.
And we give it time. We've talked about time a lot in here. One mistake I think we make is someone offers me an apology and I don't hear the heart in it. I can just assume it's all done. Like, they don't mean it. This issue's done.
Yeah.
And this is never going to be rectified. And this relationship's never going to heal or be the same again. But just like it can take time for someone to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it takes time for that heart of the one who's apologizing to truly feel humbled and sorry.
Yeah.
At first, it may just be the words.
Right.
I know I was wrong. I know I need to apologize, but I don't really feel it. And so the words sound empty.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have to give the Holy Spirit time to work in both lives sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes that person just needs some time under some preaching. Maybe a friend says something. They're reading a book, whatever it is, that eventually speaks to them and they realize, I really was wrong. And then they go back that second time. And this time the apology is real.
Yeah.
The heart is in there. And so the time works on both ends.
It does. Yeah. And it can take time, right?
Sometimes
we want
years.
To be fixed instantly. It doesn't always happen that way. So,
yeah,
this has been good. The big thing I'm taking away, that it's a process to work through on both sides.
It's a process, and it's a process that's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, real apologies are hard, humbling, uncomfortable, but the hard and the uncomfortable is not an excuse for staying where we are with those fake apologies that really don't mean anything or heal relationship. And so we've got to get to that point where we be the peacemakers, not the peacekeepers.
Right.
Doing the hard work and learning to cut each other a little slack
because
it's hard for both.
Yeah. So kind of wrapping up here, authentic apologies, you own the blame, right?
Yes.
So this is, I'm sorry that I did this, and very specific, and I'm the one that did this, and don't use a but there. Right?
No buts.
No
get,
buts
get
there.
Buts out of those things.
And then explain without excusing, right? I'm sorry that I didn't talk that over with you as the example you use.
Yeah.
So you're putting it on yourself, no excuses. And then ask for forgiveness. Like actually say the words,
will you forgive me? Yeah.
And then know it may take some time, that they may not forgive you instantly. And if they don't blow up on them again and have something else to apologize for.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Anything else you want to add to this topic?
I can't think of anything right now.
All right, well, thanks for joining us on Vertical Families today.